Welcome to Hey YA Extra Credit. Every other week opposite the main Hey YA podcast, we'll bring you a short form podcast of YA talk across a wide range of topics. I'm Erica Azzafetti. And if you listen to the show regularly, you'll know that I love fantasy. I think YA-wise, it is the main genre I read, though I have been branching out more lately, so there's that. I've been reading fantasy since I discovered it and loving it. And so in honor of my long-standing love for the genre, I'm going to be highlighting a very particular kind of fantasy book, and that is the kind with dragons. But first, before we get to our sponsor and the first book, I wanted to let you know that we are bringing paperback with paperbacks. So whether you or a reader you know and love hate carrying around bulky hardcovers, if you're on a budget, if you want just a wider range of recommendations or all of the above, you can now get a paperback subscription from TBR curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. The holidays are here. We've got three different levels for gifting to suit every budget. Get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. Today's episode is brought to you by Harper Muse, publisher of Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters is an intimate portrait of two generations, a granddaughter and a grandmother, coming to terms with what it means to be family, Black women, and alive in a world on fire. In heartfelt lyrical prose, Mary Anais Hegler weaves an unforgettable story of the climate crisis, Black resistance, and the enduring power of family. Narrated by Janice Abbott Pratt and written by climate justice writer Mary Anais Hegler, the Troubled Waters audiobook is available everywhere May 7th. It follows Corinne as she plans to stage a dramatic act of resistance and peels back the scabs of her family wounds and puts her safety in jeopardy. Both grandmother and granddaughter must bring their unspoken secrets into the light to find a path to healing. Known for her essays that dissect and interrogate the climate crisis, drawing heavily on her personal experience as a Black woman with deep roots in the South, Mary Anais Hegler brings us her first work of fiction titled Troubled Waters. Make sure to pick it up. Thanks again to Harper Muse, publisher of Troubled Waters, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Underlined. Haven't read a Natasha Preston thriller yet? We dare you to try. She's known for her line of chilling young adult suspense novels like The Cellar and The Fear. The New York Times and USA Today bestselling author excels at putting fear into the hearts of her readers. So her newest book, titled The Dare, is about five friends whose senior prank goes very, very wrong. This is the perfect graduation season read for thriller fans who can handle a good scare. The Dare is now available wherever books are sold. You can learn more about it at getunderlined.com. So again, this young adult thriller is about five friends with a prank that goes wrong. There are dark secrets, a twisty plot, and creepy I Know What You Did Last Summer vibes. So if you know, it's graduation season, you want to revel in that, but like make it scary, you know what I mean? Pick up The Dare by Natasha Preston, and thanks again to Underlined for sponsoring this episode. Now for the dragons. Like I was saying a minute ago, I've been a fantasy reader since forever, and it's been really interesting to see how the genre has changed within YA since I was actually the target age up until now. The books I have today are a mix of the new flavor of fantasy, which I have been absolutely loving, and I've also got a kind of throwback, but it's like a new throwback. You'll see what I mean in a bit. Okay. So the first book I have is To Shape a Dragon's Breath by Monakil Black Goose. I've spoken about this one before, but wanted to mention it again since I personally don't know of any indigenous-focused YA dragon stories. If you do, though, hit me up and let me know about them. So in To Shape a Dragon's Breath, we follow Anakis, a young indigenous girl who lives on Mascapog Island. She becomes the first one of her people to see a dragon, or technically a dragon egg that later hatches into a dragon, you know. So she's like the first one to see one in like 200 years. People who have special relationships with dragons are revered in her culture. And again, because dragons haven't been seen for so long, this is a very special occasion. But then she learns that the English, who colonize the land and people, will require her to go to one of their dragon schools lest they put her dragon to death. Thing is, all she knows is her people, and she's never lived in an English town or gone to one of their schools. So she is just a fish out of water there. Nevertheless, she goes to the school, which goes about as terribly as you'd expect, at least at first. There are many there who regard her as less than and undeserving because she is indigenous, there's sexual harassment, and even a teacher who just has it out for her. But even with all of that going against her, she perseveres. She meets friends, explores romantic relationships, some of which are queer, by the way, and stands up for herself. And so the book in general, the world is lush and imaginative and works in a lot of myth and actual history. And so I think this is definitely for people who want their world building detailed also, which is another great fantasy feature, you know, these complex, rich, lived in worlds. So again, that's To Shape a Dragon's Breath by Monica Black Goose. The next one I have is Song of Silver, Flame Like Night by Emily Nguyen Zhao. So this one is similar to the first book I mentioned in that the main character is another teen girl who's trying to survive in her colonized homeland. Lan's entire existence got redefined when the Atlanteans took over her kingdom. She got a new name, her mother was killed, and the magic that was inherent to her people was outlawed, which is an interesting theme that I feel like I see a lot of in some fantasy books involving colonialism, including, again, the book I just mentioned. So back to Lan. Lan now works as a song girl in a tea house, and wherever she can, she tries to investigate the history and customs of her people to try to get to the bottom of what this symbol means that her mother burned into her arm before she died. It's like a symbol from her people's language, and only she can see it. But then this boy named Zin shows up who recognizes the mark and he saves her life. Turns out Zin is a practitioner of the lost magic of Lan's people, and Lan realizes that he's the key to figuring out what the symbol on her arm means. But Zin also realizes something, which is that Lan is powerful enough to save their kingdom or destroy it. So to do so, they journey, well, not to destroy the kingdom. That's not what I mean to do so. The to do so applies to saving the kingdom. Okay, so to save the kingdom and also for Lan to figure out what that symbol means on her arm, they journey into deep forest to find an order of traditional magic practitioners. So again, that is Song of Silver, Flame Like Night by Emily Nguyen Zhao. Next up I have So Let Them Burn by Camilla Cole. Now, I also mentioned this one not long ago, but I feel compelled to mention again because, well, dragons, Avi. Plus, this is Jamaican fantasy with dragons, which is a combo I've never seen before. So years ago, when Farron was 12, she was chosen to be the host for her island's gods. She was able to channel their power and liberate her people and their island from the Langley Empire. Now, 5 years later, there's a peace summit with the very same Langley Empire, who are dragon riders, by the way, and she's expected to be nice and chill with them, even though, like, she was totally, like, at war with them, like, 5 minutes ago. Whatever. Then something unexpected happens. Her sister forms a bond with a dragon that was written in by a Langley girl, and then something happens that makes the dragons turn deadly. And Farron is told the only way to protect everyone is to kill the dragons, but that will also kill whoever is bonded to a dragon, i.e. her sister. So now the girls are clinging to each other, even as all these monumental things come between them. Again, that is So Let Them Burn by Camilla Cole. The last one I have is Murtaugh by Christopher Paolini. This is the fifth book in the Inheritance Cycle, which, if you're unfamiliar with that particular title of series, is a series that the Aragon books are from. And the Aragon books, I mean those books from like 2002, girl, when I was also like barely a young adult. Actually, I technically wasn't a young adult yet. I was like just about to get into that age category. So these are from the before four times. I never got into Aragon, but I remember I meant to because, again, fantasy was my bag. Like, Aragon was there. I just never got to it. So I wanted to make sure to include this here for some OG YA dragon books. And since this latest book just came out in November 2023, so it's like, that's what I meant by like a new throwback. You know what I mean? So if you like me are unfamiliar with the Aragon universe, this one follows the dragon rider Murtaugh, who was a fan favorite apparently, but the kind of favorite with a kind of like dicey pass. Like, he got a little spice to him. You know what I mean? Thing is, he is tied to this terrible king who was deposed, but he can't shake that association. My impression was that he was forced to do some things he didn't want to do for the king. And now that the king is gone, the Wicked Witch of the West is dead. People are like, nah, because you were with the king and we are not feeling you like that. Even though it seemed like he didn't have a choice. But anyway, So he and his dragon, Thorn, Loki go into hiding because of this. But even while on the low, they're trying to uncover what a mysterious warning from Omaroth means. There's a witch they need to find who poses a threat to the recently saved world, but they'll have to journey back to their past and contend with dark things they were involved with on behalf of the previous king. Now, as I mentioned before, this is the fifth in the series, but I think since it was so popular, it's worth introducing to current YA readers who are interested in dragons and who may not be familiar with it. So this is for, you know, the school librarians and stuff. Also, if you have a young reader who's interested in dragons, or if you're interested in YA dragon books, like I said, this just came out like a couple months ago, but you might want to probably start from the beginning. Although I think this could potentially be read by itself. That's the impression I got. But I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably going to want to read it from the beginning because that's the type of people we are. Whatever your choice, I support you. So again, this is Murtaugh by Christopher Paolini. And that wraps up what I have for you today with Dragon Books. Thanks so much for tuning in, as well as our sponsor for making the day show possible. You can follow me on Twitter at @Erica_EZE_. Big shout out to Caitlin Brame, our audio editor, for making me sound great. We'll see you next week on the main podcast, where I'll be joined by Tears of Price. Until next week, happy reading.